Hey, everybody. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us. I'm James Adams. He's Skeeter Robinson. This is the Fantastics, My Fantasy Fix, DFS Golf Podcast. And Skeeter, we continue on the California trip as we go to the Farmers Insurance Open. Before we do that, we take a peek back at the American Express. And the John Rahm train continues, man. And I tell you what, I had a pretty decent DFS week. I was close on a bet. I have a big share of a top six, so not exactly a great payout, but I had a decent week in slimming down my lineups, and I'm getting ready for the Farmers. Other than the Rahm domination, what else are we taking away from this American Express?
Who was your top six on?
JT Poston.
Oh, nice.
In honor of your beloved John Deere class.
Oh, wow. I mean, maybe I ought to start looking at that format, because what I'm doing right now, not working. For as good as last year the American Express was for me, it was this bad. Like, I think I had 3 of 6 was my best lineup to make the cut. Just could not have been more wrong in the players I ended up on. Like, Cantlay on Friday was, 10 under, like, a few off the lead. Like, all right, seems my one and done. This has legs. And then Saturday, I think he pars, like, the first 14 holes, shoots one under. Like, that's not going to work this week.
No, and it's crazy what the cut ended up being. I had a conversation with a friend of mine, and he said, what do you think the cut's going to be? And I said, -8. He's like, really? I said, well, yeah. Keep in mind they're going to play Saturday before they make the cut. Dude, I had one player miss the cut in – I had him in two of my three lineups. It was the only player I played that missed the cut. It was Brian Harman at 8 under, who was also my one-and-done selection. And how am I – I can't even be mad at him at 8 under – for not that he would care if I was mad at him, but I can't even be mad about it at 8 under that he missed the cut. Like, what the heck? Just what a crazy event.
I mean, that's probably better than me burning Cantlay all his $60,000 for his T25 or whatever it was. So
perhaps. I don't know. I'm sitting on 00 with or 000 with 2 weeks under our belt, so we'll see how.
I have 86,000. Like, that's not exactly going to move the needle as far as
that's true.
Doing anything. So, in fact, let's see. Has anybody hit the Siwoo Rahm double and one and done?
I have yet to look at the website after my disaster. And I was, frankly, watching football yesterday.
Well, yeah. Yeah, nobody has the Siwoo Rahm double. Like, I can't imagine people are really on Rahm here. Like, they're saving him for who knows. Well, they could be saving him for this week. But
saving him for this week, absolutely.
That's going to be – I'm ready to talk Rahm this week because – I'll give you a hint. I like what DraftKings did.
I did notice that price, and we'll get to it, but they bumped him up, and I agree. It makes it not as easy to just play him in every lineup.
Right.
Skeeter, anything more from the Amex before we get to the Farmers?
I don't think so. Taylor Montgomery looks like he's going to – that's who was second, right? Again, I get my Davises and – Taylor's
Montgomery was, he may have been second. He was a good play again last week, and James I assure Thompson. You, he's on my radar again.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know why, but I get my Davises, my, some of these new
Thompson
guys.
Thompson was second, right?
Davis Thompson.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know why I can't figure him out, or the Taylors, or I don't know, but yeah, here we go again. I mean, he had a win last year on the Corn Ferry Tour, but so it seems like he's been coming and, held up pretty well in the final round with Rahm, ended up losing by one. No shame in losing to Rahm, so, there'll be somebody on the radar this week as well.
Skeeter, should we take it to the Farmers?
Yes.
It is the Farmers Insurance Open. It's at Torrey Pines in San Diego, California, and Skeeter, I guess the first thing to point out, get your lineups on Wednesday. This event is Wednesday through Saturday. They're not going to compete with the NFL on Sunday. They did that last year, and quite frankly, I thought the Sunday or Saturday evening finale was really good for golf. It was good TV. It fit really well in a kind of an open window where outside of like college basketball, there's nothing going on. So I think a smart move for them again this year. But FYI, all lineups need to be in by Wednesday morning.
Yeah. So a couple things going on. You mentioned a Wednesday start, not to compete with the NFL. Smart move. Saturday night finish will be interesting, like it was last year. But, hey, if we get another playoff, that'd be good. The second thing to remember here is that for the first two rounds, each golfer gets one round at Torrey Pines North in one of the South course, and then Friday, Saturday, both rounds will be on the South. That's the U.S. Open course. It's like 500 yards difference between the North and the South. The North is the much easier of the two courses. Not that it's real easy, but it's much easier than the South. So if you're playing showdowns Wednesday or Thursday, or first round leader Wednesday, you probably want to target those on the North course. So that's kind of the caveats there. Any other caveats before I get into the stats?
No, I was going to say, what stats do you want to hit? I mean, the only caveat is, keep in mind that if you remember following this course a little over a year and a half ago when John Rahm won the U.S. Open, it'll be somewhat different conditions, not only because it's not the U.S. Open, but it's also going to be January instead of June, I think, is when the U.S. Open was. So just keep those things in mind, too, if you're thinking about Torrey Pines. And the last time you watched it was a year and a half ago at the U.S. Open.
I mean, hey, Rahm's got three top tens here. So it wasn't this his first win, was that Torrey Pines, that 60-footer?
I think so. This is like where he got engaged to his wife, too. Like,
yes,
he talked all about how Torrey Pines is an incredibly special place. It was part of like the build-up and the after of the U.S. Open there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, stats-wise, tee to green, like, you have to have a complete game here. Like, it's a brute of a course. Driving distance is going to be a major role. You know, this is going to be one of those courses where we see the rough be a pretty decent penalty. So, if you're in the rough, we'll kind of see from there. I think scrambling around a green, bogey avoidance kind of plays a role. Proximity from 200-plus kind of popped out to me. Most of the par fours between 450 and 500. I think all the par threes over 200 yards. Like, it's just a long, long course. So, bombers tend to do well. Like, even going through the tournament history, it seems like some of the same guys who... Like, there's some guys with some really good profiles here. And just guys who play tough courses. Somebody threw out a Memorial comp, and, you know, I thought that was a decent one. Like, Rahm's won both. Tiger loved here. He loved Memorial. I realize Tiger can play anywhere, but that was an interesting one. I'm trying to see if there's anybody else who sticks out. Jason Day. I don't think he hasn't played Memorial great, but Day's played well here. Rahm's won. Rose has won both. Was Leishman okay at Memorial?
He's had his moments there, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. A couple years ago, of course, but...
I don't remember Reed or Phil. So there's a little bit of there. Somebody threw out Riviera too, just the Southern California, Poa Greens, Kikuya Rough, so that plays a role. But other than that, if you have a guy who has a good history at like the US Open or some of these tougher tracks on tour, that's probably a decent area to look at.
Anything else about the tournament, the course layout, courses layout, before we get into the field?
I don't think so.
Well, let's do just that. We get into the field. We start with the 10K plus tier, and we start with John Rahm at 11-6. The next golfer, Tony Finau, at 10-5. Xander Schauffele is 10-3. Colin Morikawa is 10K even. Skeeter, you got four. Who's your favorite?
I mean, look. If we're just doing this in a vacuum, it's Rahm, who, as we've just talked a little bit about, got married here, won his first tournament here, won his first major here, has four straight top seven finishes at this tournament, at this course, so he obviously loves it. But coming off a win, now he's priced up 1,100 compared to everybody else. Not that he can't win or that there isn't enough value. There's some guys I like in the mid to low sevens. But this is almost opens up, I think, an interesting game theory window where he has to be dominant to justify that 11-6 price. Like, I want to say the year he won the U.S. Open, he wasn't even in the winning Millie Maker lineup.
I do believe you're correct, because there was some kind of correlation of not having the winner or a 10K-plus golfer maybe in a winning Millie Maker for like four consecutive millies. And that could have just been complete circumstance. But I tried to get involved in that narrative a little bit too.
Yeah, so I mean, even if he wins, if he wins by seven, then yes, you're going to have to have him. But I'm going to take a chance that he doesn't. So outside of that, Finau's going to be my play here at 10-5. It'll be interesting to see where he comes in just simply because Rahman so much more, and there's a lot of good options in the nines. But past 24 rounds, he's fifth in par fours and at 450 to 500. 16 to green. Good distance, good accuracy, good bogey avoidance. Good par five player. Kind of hits all the metrics I want. Struggles a little bit from the 200 plus range, which is odd for him, but everything else checks out. Good history here.
Mm-hmm.
As I try to pull this up, and I'm still battling a little bit of my cold, so my voice might be a tad raspy, but prior to the missed cut last year, he was always top 25, so 10-5 I think makes sense on Finau.
Tony Finau to me is the top play. I'm right there with you. You pretty much nailed all the reasons why. The course history is amazing. He plays tough courses really well, as we know. He has found his game in the last year or so. Maybe not found his game because he's a good golfer for a long time, but he's found that way to win that he's hit recently too. If the prices were the same, I'd have to pick John Rahm, but with $1,100 savings, I agree with you. This got to be Tony Finau. He's my favorite play too. I think the interesting thing gets to be, who are you turning to if you don't play Finau, or if you dare try to fit two into the lineup? Does it then become Rahm, or is that price still too prohibitive?
I mean, it's Rahm at that point. Like, Rahm's just a pure game theory play against. Like, one last week, he's been so dominant here. Like, it's hard to get away from him, but I'll play the game theory there. Xander's never played all that great. I think he had a top finish last year, which was his first.
And he's from this area. Like, he played high school golf or something like that here.
I think college.
I don't know why I would think Torrey Pines is your high school course.
No, but there is a local connection. I want to say it was college. Yeah. Could be high school. Could be both. You know, he was second here 2 years ago, but he's never had that great finish. And Morikawa, this doesn't feel like a Morikawa course. Like, feels like this might be a tad too long for him, but not going to doubt the guy either.
I think so. We get into all of that, and I think when I unwrap it, I'm like, yeah, I guess Rahm's got to be my two behind Finau. Could I dare play him or not play him and play Xander? Maybe, because the price is so different, and Xander has played well here once. But I think it's pretty easily Rahm is going to be my number two. And what the real answer is if I don't play Finau, I don't play anybody in this tier, which makes all of them my fade. But Morikawa, like you just mentioned, probably my fade. I'm really worried about the scar tissue from the last couple of holes there at Kapalua, dude. And I'm really interested to see how he rebounds, because he was bogey free and then he was a bogey machine for the last couple of holes.
I'm not worried about the scar tissue. Like, I think he'll get over it just fine. But yeah, again, it just does not seem like the Morikawa course fit that I want. But he has one at, not the Memorial, it's the Workday, but so he has one there, so that narrative.
Easier setup. If you remember, yes. Jack Nicklaus was mad about the easy setup that week.
Yeah, and remember, as soon as they were done on the fight, you know, it was the Workday in 2020, then they played the Memorial, and as soon as the final group was done on one, they started tearing apart that green for the remodel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do recall that, yeah.
Like, Jack, I think, wanted to make a statement in a couple of different ways.
I do believe you are correct there. Anything left from 10K, Skeeter, in those four?
I don't think so.
It's the 9K tier. Starts with Will Zalatoris at 97. Justin Thomas is 94. Sung Jae-im, 93. Taylor Montgomery is 92. Max Homa is 91. And Hideki Matsuyama is 9K even. Skeeter, you got a couple of choices here. Who are you going with as the favorite?
I have my favorite, and my brain says you're an idiot for not making a guy a favorite. So, like, which one do you want?
I want the one that your brain says you're an idiot for not making your favorite.
Justin Thomas, what's he doing at 9,400?
I don't know.
Like, I realize his history here is not, he's only played here twice, 20th last year, and I forget what his U.S. Open was.
I know the runner-up was Louis Oosthuizen.
What year was that?
The U.S. Open?
Yeah.
It was 2021, and it was Louis Oosthuizen was the runner-up. I remember those two were kind of the ones in the mix.
I think I had Louis in one and done that year that week too, or maybe I bet on him. Okay, he was 19th here, so he doesn't have this standout history like Rahm, and DraftKings seemingly did kind of price up a little bit the course horse guys. I did notice that one. But he was 20. I mean, he was 20 for the tournament champion. He's not great, but I don't know if that really bothers anything. Like, for the CJ Cup, like, outside the fifth of the Tour Championship, hasn't done much since he won the PGA, but this is Justin Thomas. Like, we've seen him win at Quail Hollow, another tough course, the PGA there. He can compete anywhere. Like, 9,400 just feels way too cheap, and he's not going to pop in all the stats, which is interesting in the short term. So, that's the one my brain says, like, this is the no-brainer, but as I said, I have another guy I really like in this tier, but I'll hold off.
I'm interested to know who that is, too. And if you want, I will go ahead and tell you my favorite. At this point, I got to go with Taylor Montgomery. I mean, Zalatoris looks like a really nice pick here. Sung J.M. is always a nice, safe pick. But Taylor Montgomery is on fire. It continued again last week at the American Express. I'm just going to roll with him again, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue against him. Another top five. I mean, go back to the fall swing. He had, what, the third, fourth, and ninth at Sanderson. Like, his worst finish is 57th at Houston. Everything else has been top 15. Like, he certainly deserves to be there, but this feels like this is a different test.
He was 10th here last year. Or 11th, excuse me.
Was he really? Oh, man.
I know. It's crazy. Like, I got on him a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, you know, some of this has just kind of gone under my radar. Obviously, a lot of it was Korn Ferry Tour last year, too.
And he was 57th at the U.S. Open here in 21.
I mean, I'm going to stick with him. I'm going to hope that a lot of people are avoiding him because of the name recognition of a JT, of a Sung J.M., of, well, hell, everybody else in the tier besides him.
Okay. All right. You've sold me on him a little bit, and I know Sung J's got good history here, too. But the guy I'm going with my favorite is Zalatoris, 9,700. I mean, yes, maybe it's because I took him number one. He was my first pick in our draft that we started today, but even though you stole Max Homa from me in round two.
Well, so, there's going to be a lot of that this week, I think.
Yeah, you and I are going to snipe each other on some players, but it's because we know each other. And we're like, okay, look, so-and-so's he's thinking about so-and-so. I better take him now. But I mean, if we're talking tough course, a U.S. Open type setup, this is Zalatoris' range. He lost in the playoff last year. He was 7th 2 years ago in his debut. Like, he's number one tee to green, number two in par fours, fifth in approach. Really does everything I'm looking for well. At 9,700, whatever injury he had to end the season, he looks fine. He's played well at the tournament champions. He was fine last week. This is more his tournaments. I like him quite a bit at 97.
I don't know how much I'm going to go to 10K tier. I think this is the tier where I'm going to get more heavily invested because, look, you've already mentioned JT and Willie Z. I like them both. Sung JM's in the mix, too. But I like Max Homa as well.
Yeah.
We've seen him win at Riviera. I know that's not here, but it is in California. Seen him win at some tough courses. Yeah, a couple tough courses.
Quail Hollow.
I was going to say Wells Fargo as well. Absolutely. So I think for me, I like a lot in this tier. I don't know if I like Max Homa better than the other guys you mentioned, if they're all just kind of a 1 through 5 is my favorite play in this tier. But I think I like this entirety of this tier a lot, and he's in the mix still.
Yeah, I mean, distance would be the only slight concern. And I don't remember him having, I mean, slight, like he's average, so it's not like he's short. Okay. 9th and 18th here, 3 other missed cuts, but a couple of them were earlier in his career, so I'm not going to hold that against him. But no, it's almost to the point where if we're on a tough course, Homa kind of fits that narrative. Really good putter on POA, too, so that's his best surface. He was 3rd of the tournament champions, like, one of the 4 to net. He's in good enough form. Yeah, I don't see myself getting off of him unless the entire world is on him.
None of these guys are wrong, but the price just means just makes me think I'm going to be in this tier so much more. Skeeter, I've really said I like 5 of the 6 in this tier. That leaves one left for me. So pretty clear. My fate is Hideki Matsuyama.
Yep.
Nothing better than 30th over the last 4 years here, 3 years. He had been good here, but Hideki, I feel like I could say that about every place. He had been good. I'm just not so sure that he's week to week a good player anymore. He's good, but you know.
Yeah, it's. I mean, if you remember, Hideki runs hot and cold. So once we start seeing him turn things on a little bit, get on him. But until then, there's too many others I like in this range, so I'm completely with you.
Well, does that mean it's time to go to the 8Ks?
It is, and oh boy. You want You know, I hear some names from the past. Here we go.
We've got a list here. Siwoo Kim's at the top, 89. Jason Day, 88. Sahith Theegala's, 87. Matt McNeely, 86. J.J. Spahn, 85. Cam Davis, 84. Keegan Bradley, up to 20-something in the world at 83. Adam Hadwin's, 82. Justin Rose is 81. Luke List, Hayden Buckley, both at 8K even. Skeeter, you have a bunch of choices at 8K. Where are you going?
All right. I think it might be time to jump back on Jason Day. Like, he is playing really well, and this is a course that throughout the years he has played really well at. It's like he's won here twice. Third last year, remember, I think he holed out from like the middle of the fairway.
Oh, I had a live bet. I say live. It was a pre-tournament outright on him at like 80 or 90 to 1.
Right.
And when he holed out, I lost my mind. I was just finished working the parking lots, and we were watching the Saturday night finish up there in the office. It was a great, like I said, I mean, maybe it was great theater because I had a live bet, but you know, the Saturday night aspect was great. But yeah, he holed out for eagle on a shot, and that thrust him back into the lead. He just couldn't quite hold on. He was not having a good final round Saturday.
No, what's funny is in the past eight tournaments here, he's either been top 16 or missed cut. He has three missed cuts. So either, you know, boom, bust, but boy, the boom has been there. Even recently, over the past 24 rounds, he's second approach, second bogey avoidance, like those, fifth tee to green, 15th in fairways gain, distance slightly above average. But outside of the proximity from 200+, kind of like Finau, he rates out really well in everything else. Like, I can see him getting popular just because of the history and the recent form. He was 18th last week. The putter seems back for him. That was kind of the club was holding him back a lot of last year. 8,800 is a pretty good number on him. I think he's my favorite.
I can't argue with that. I mean, obviously, I just told you I was investing him in a year ago, and it was a good ride. You'd be hard-pressed to get me off of that ride again this year. I guess I'm going to go with Siwoo Kim. Like, I like Jason Day, and I'm going to use him a lot. But I'm going to go with Siwoo Kim. I heard a stat last week when I was going out to make my bets that he doesn't follow up. This was just listening to SiriusXM's PGA radio channel, and they were talking about how he doesn't follow up a win with a good performance very often. Yep. Well, he did follow up a win last week with a pretty good performance. He didn't win again, but now we go to this course where he has won before with some good course history.
He won here?
Siwoo Kim, I think Siwoo Kim's a past winner. Maybe I'm full of it. No, he has not won here before. He was 11th, not first last year.
I don't remember the Siwoo win here.
That was 2-1s, not 1-1. Oh. But he's had some decent course history all the same. So I think I'm going to go with Siwoo, who's playing really good.
Yeah, no, he has. He's number one in approach over the past 24 rounds, third tee to green, fourth bogey avoidance. The distance concerns me, the par fives, and in the 450 to 500. But he didn't make my list, but I gave him a hard look, and he's not my fade, so I have no issue with that.
Who else are you going besides Jason Day?
James, it's time.
I can understand it. Look, I actually played Ricky Fowler in a lineup last week after I faded him, so it's okay for what you're about to do.
Another good course history guy, Justin Rose.
Get the fangs out.
I mean, past five times he's played here, a win, three of their top fives, including last year, and I don't think he was really in great form a year ago when he played here. His recent three tournaments, 9th at Houston, 29th at RSM to end the year, 26th last week at the American Express, like, these are solid forms. Now he goes to a course he likes, rounding into form. It's vampire season.
Yeah, it is. It does stay dark out this time of year. We're certainly on the shorter window of daylight.
That's starting to get there, and he might not be popular well because he's not really popping in the stat models.
There's a lot of guys I can get to in 8K as well. I mean, I said I like Siwoo, and I like who you've mentioned, both players you mentioned. I'd be remiss if I didn't go to my guy Adam Hadwin. He's been playing pretty good as of late, and he made the cut. Or I'm sorry, I shouldn't say made the cut. He missed the cut last year here, but before that, he was 18th, and then he was mediocre at the price point. I figure he's not going to be highly used at 8,200. He's been all right lately too. I mean, 18th last week, he was a player I used, was in cashing lineup. So maybe you're getting a little bit too much recency bias in the positive with guys like Hadwin and Montgomery from me. But Hadwin's been really good as of late. I don't see any reason why I would think he's going to do anything less than be a positive force again this week. So in a realm with guys like, you know, like you mentioned, Rose, the defending champ Luke List, who I probably like too, Hadwin, I think, will probably be low owned in this mix too.
He just, this is another one, just does not seem like a Hadwin course. But I guess he does have this tendency to kind of pop up in majors every now and then, or am I thinking Mac Hughes?
I get my Canadians mixed up. I think Mac Hughes popped up in a major, was it the PGA last year that he was running hot at the very end? He was, Hughes.
Was it here, 21?
Maybe it was. I do not have those open results in front of me. U.S. Open.
He's not even in the field this week, so. But yeah, I feel like he pops. But no, this just does not seem like a Hadwin course fit to me.
Well, who are you fading? Do you have any other players you like here?
The only other one I have is JJ Spahn at 8,500. Like, again, I know he's hard to kind of trust, but he was good at Sony. He was good at Century. He finished the fall with two top 15s. Like, he's been playing pretty well. And if I look at his course history, not great, but 9th, 23rd, 30th, 34th, the two missed cuts the past 6 years, maybe it's a little too high of a number on him, but he's playing well enough to justify the 8,500. Good bogey avoidance, good tee to green, good around the green, good scrambler. Like, those again are some stats I'd be curious on this week. Distance not his thing, so maybe JJ Spahn at 8,500.
I think Spahn is my fade out of this mix. And I'm looking at Cam Davis, Mag McNeely. Like, I don't know if I'll use either of them, but McNeely has a decent run here from time to time. So when I compare him to the others in that price, I can't fade Keegan. I'm not sure I'm going to use him, but he had some good history here half a decade ago. So I think I'm fading Spahn.
See, I think Hadwin's my fade.
That's fair.
Maybe we'll have to have a friendly next time
a
we
fade
meet.
Off.
Yes, or you know, first round of drinks, which by the way is cheaper for I'm the cheaper one of the two.
That's a bad bet for you. We should bet ice cream or fried chicken or something.
Oh, hey, Grater's ice cream. Sold.
Which is very good.
Yes.
Which is very good. Skeeter, anything else from the 8Ks?
Nope.
What are we doing with the 7Ks? We got a whole list of players. I'm going to start with you. Is there a player in this field that stands out to you in the 7Ks that you got to get in your lineup?
Stand out? No. Are there guys I have found myself liking? Yes. Trying to see if I can even narrow it down. All right, you know what? I think he's becoming my guy. I don't know why, but I always seem to play him. I don't think he's got much of a history here. Let me check real quick. I'm getting too many screens open. Kurt Kitayama at 7,600.
Okay.
Yeah, he missed a cut here last year, but a guy who can, guy with great distance, he will score. Doesn't always hit the fairway, so that could be a concern here, but 19 bogey avoidance, third scrambling. Like, if you're going to miss fairways and you're ranking that high on numbers, fine with me. Good around the green, good par four player, good distance, good tee to green. Like, he kind of hits all the things I like. Probably a good first-round leader if he's at the North Course bet. But 7,600, Kitayama's a real player. So I like him here. Didn't have a great Sony Open, but was second in the CJ Cup, which was a, I believe that's a decent field every year. So give me some Kitayama.
I can get behind that. I mean, I'm just going to play Ryan Palmer. He was good at the Sony Open, was not good down the stretch leading up to that at the end of 2022. Where Rom plays well, Ryan Palmer generally plays well. That pretty much fits the bill here. Certainly his course history is not as good as John Rahm's, but Ryan Palmer's had some nice finishes here and I think was 32nd at the Sony. So listen to this run of finishes for Ryan Palmer. This is starting last year, 16th, 2nd, 21st, 13th, 2nd. Ryan Palmer, 5 years in a row, has lit this place up. I can't get away from him at 7,500.
No, I said they priced a lot of the course horses, but that was one they definitely did not.
He'd been bad outside of last week, or not last week, 2 weeks ago at the Sony. So, I mean, I kind of get where he's sitting because his game has not looked anything worth being afraid of.
Right. Another guy for me, and I used him in the Tournament of Champions, not a great history here. He's made 3 of 5 cuts, but maybe playing a little different confidence after winning last year is Trey Mullinax at 74. Second in distance, again, 136 in fairways gained, not good. Scrambling's okay, around the green, slightly below average, but good approach, good tee to green, good in the par 4 and par 5 range. Like, I kind of like bombers here, and he certainly fits that. So 7,400, I'm playing the skill set of bombers, or at least guys who can scramble if they miss a fairway, he'll at least fit their bomber narrative.
Can we go back to Davis Thompson?
Sure.
And the price is right, and he held up after a great first round. You know, I wondered how much of that would be able to be sustained, and he weathered the storm. He didn't win, but he weathered the storm. I think he's a player I'm probably interested in.
I mean, another bomber.
I guess I'm interested in Aaron Rye. I was kind of on him last year when he was playing good. He hasn't been playing very good lately. I might give him a look. He was bad at the Amex, but he was good last year, and he was a player I like. I don't like the 7K as much as I did a week ago. I'll tell you that right now.
Like, I have some guys like Aaron Rye, number one in fairways gained, 124th in distance, so that's a
problem here.
But also good par four player from 450 to 500, so that's a plus. Yeah, nothing against him. If I get to the point I need somebody at that price point, I'm fine with that. Alex Smalley keeps popping up. Like, I feel like he pops up every week. Good approach, good bogey avoidance, good par five player around the green. Could be a little bit of an issue with him. Try to think some other guys. Oh, hey, I think he's got another one of our course history guys. Your guy, Gary Woodland.
I know. I turned to him a couple weeks ago, and it didn't go so well.
I mean, he tends to play the tougher courses well.
He absolutely does.
He's got a good track record here. He is wild, you know, wildly inconsistent at this point, but 7,400, not the worst dart throw.
I'm not sure I have a whole lot more in 7K. Like, I liked a lot of plays last week, and I mixed them in well. I'm looking. I mean, look, you want a long hitter? I could take a peek at Cam Champ. But right now, I'm taking some flyers. What about Garrett Higo? He's actually a guy we mentioned last week, and he played well last week. Does he do anything for you this week?
Good distance. Not good real. Good distance, good par five. Not good at anything else, so no.
Okay, that's fair. Sebastian Munoz do anything for you?
No.
Okay.
What happened to him? He had a nice, he was 41st last week. Struggled at the tournament course, so that's probably not the greatest sign. Yeah, I'd like to see a little more consistency out of him before I get there.
I'm not sure I have any other dart throws for you, quite frankly.
Stat-wise, Ben Taylor's popping up, Callum Tarran, some of these same guys from last week, Ben Griffin, Patrick Rogers, I think he's been okay here, or at least he's had a decent finish. Yeah, he's got 2 top 10s. Everything else been terrible, but that's the Patrick Rogers experience.
That's okay at this price point.
Let's see. Good around the green, good distance, good par 5. Not great in the proximity of the par 4 range, so that's an issue. But yeah, those are the only other guys that kind of stood out stat-wise.
Is this course too long for Brendan Steele, who's been decent?
Maybe. I got to look into him more.
He's been really good. He feels more like a cash game play, though, which isn't really what I'm into.
Okay.
Just another guy that was good to me last week, but I'm not sure if I could return to. I don't know that I have a whole lot left in this range for you.
I got one more name. I was just looking because he rates out really bad stat-wise, but his finishes actually aren't bad. Recently, and former winner here, Scott Stallings, 7,700.
Okay.
I mean, I almost wonder if some of these stats are thrown off because he lost 13 shots in approach at the Tour Championship, which he must have just put a bunch of balls in the water.
It happens.
Yeah, because remember, he went on the run even to get to Atlanta.
Yeah, I think now that I think about it, I think he was even in some of those postseason drafts that I was doing that were all donations.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure how good that is, but it is okay. Skeeter, there's one remaining name that I think I'm going to fade. But I didn't fade him last week after I said I was going to. Now I'm looking at his course history here. Could you play Ricky Fowler? I think I'm fading him this week for real.
He is always a fade for me here because, remember, he's like the main spokesman for Farmers, and he's never played well with
not at all
extra responsibility. So, nope, I'm with you. No, thank
okay.
you.
I'm actually fading him this week because I felt a little bit deceitful when I played him last week.
Well, that's okay because, remember, we do this on Monday night. This is a first look through, and I get to Wednesday night or Tuesday night, and I'm going through like, you know what? Wait a minute. I missed this person, or you know what? Second look. You know what? He's not as bad. He fits a price point to look at. So, you know, if we're mentioning a name or who we don't like or that we do like, opinions do change as we kind of look into it more and think about it more.
Skeeter, are you ready to go to the 6Ks?
Yep.
Some opinions never change. My favorite play is a former champion. It's got to be the Seagull, one Charlie Hoffman, who, again, we're not going to be mad at minus six not making the cut last week. Although, there was three strokes off the cut line. I will go to Charlie Hoffman at 6,900. You already know this.
Good distance, good par five. Struggles to hit fairways. Par four, not great. I get it, not for me.
Man, that was hurtful. But that's okay, I understand. Do you have a favorite play in the 6Ks?
No, but I have two guys starred. I might as well just go with the cheapest one all the way down at 6,300, Eric Barnes.
Okay.
So he's missed the past 2 weeks. But 10th at RSM, 43rd at Houston, 45th at Sanderson in the fall. He's at least been gaining strokes on approach on all those tournaments. Good distance. Again, another one who can't hit a fairway, or not very good at hitting fairways. But he's good around the green, good at approximately from 200+. Like, he at least has enough going on for him at 6,300 that he can round up a lineup.
I really don't have anyone else, and I don't know that I'm going to need to find anyone else, given the fact that I don't think I'm getting too much 10K activity. Look, I'll play Jim Herman. His course history here is terrible. He's 6,100. I actually probably won't play him if I go to three lineups like I did last week. If I play 10 lineups, I'll play him in one. But three lineups, I can't do that. So I really don't have another 6K guy for you, man.
Like one guy I can see getting a little popular is James Hahn at 6,500. He rates out very well stat-wise, but his history here is not great. The only other guy, where did he pop for me to put a star by him? Andrew Novak at 6,700 has just kind of been consistent across all models for somebody in the 6K range. Like, he's top half the field. 12th at Sony, 17th at Bermuda, so I'm not sure those are exactly great course comps, but he keeps getting on approach. Putter's been a little bit of an issue, but these fast greens, sometimes your putting can be negated. See you, Will Zalatoris. He was another name, just, I guess, for those reasons pop, but I was not finding a lot I love at 6K. I might have to end up digging down here a little bit more, but not really liking a ton here.
Is there an actual fade for you?
Oh, yeah, you know what? I think he's played well here before, but I'm not trying the Kyle Stanley experiment at 6K.
I guess I could tell you I'll fade Bill Haas. Isn't he a past champion?
Yeah.
Actually, not a past champion. I lied to you.
Oh, I thought you were.
But I'll fade him all the same. I was looking through names, and he was a player that, he's made the cut here before, but I won't be using him. I'm just not going to 6K, I don't think, man.
You know what? That probably will make you unique.
Is there anything else from the DraftKings perspective?
I don't think so.
Let's talk a little one and done, Skeeter.
Yeah,
that was the sound of all my money getting raked up right there. That sound of nothing. That's where I'm sitting right now. So I don't even know if I warrant making a statement here.
Hey, we're still early in the season. I think I started off pretty poor last year. Caught a heater in mid year and ended up cashing. So you got time.
John, I mean, we talked about John Rahm in the DraftKings usage. Do you turn to him here and just say, all right, he's on fire. and he dominates this place, let's get some money in the bank.
You certainly could. I don't have an issue with that.
Do you go to Jason Day, a player who could be hurt in a couple of weeks and not be useful again the rest of the season?
That's one of three names on my radar. For me, I'm down to Zalatoris, Homa, or Day.
That's fair.
And Homa's probably number three of those.
That's fair. I'm considering Finau, too. I don't know if I would trade him, change him, save him, pardon my English. I don't know if I would save him for another event this year. He's playing pretty good. Finau of the top dog, I think I would probably use ahead of Rahm and still save Rahm for a major. But, gosh, they're both playing so good. If you go high, it's hard to argue either one. Yeah, I don't know where I'm thinking right now.
Your Jason Day argument's a good one.
Like, Jason Day makes a lot of sense because on top of the fact that is he going to be good all year, is he going to be healthy? You know, is he physically going to be good? So, but then you can just turn around and make the argument, is the winner going to have ever used Jason Day? The answer may well be no.
No, but if you're ever going to use him, this seems like the, I mean,
this would be the time.
Playing well, good history here.
Warm weather for that back.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure even this time of year it's overly warm there, but yeah, no. I mean, he's going to be popular, but he makes sense.
I was in shorts and t-shirts out there this time last year. I'm also a Midwesterner.
Oh, yeah. And you're bright. You were also filled with adrenaline because your team was at the Super Bowl.
That's correct. That's correct. Several miles north, but that is correct. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to pencil Finau in. I could certainly make the case for Jason Day. I think he'll be in the mix in my play, in my DraftKings plays anyway. But that's where I'm looking now, Skeeter. I am just trying to get off the schnod.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. But again, it's early. Like, if you had two random missed cuts in the month of June, you wouldn't be overly worried.
Right, and you're absolutely right about that. I would not be. Skeeter, anything else before we put the farmers to bed?
I don't think so.
Just remember, folks, this tournament starts on Wednesday. So if you're paying attention, you want to set some lineups, you want to do so right now. You want to do so before Wednesday morning or at least Wednesday afternoon once the tournament tees off, depending on where you are in the USA. But don't forget it's a Wednesday kickoff. Good Lord, I'm still in football mode. Other than that, Skeeter, that's all I got as well.
Yeah, good luck to your Bengals on Sunday in Arrowhead. Hey, back-to-back Super Bowl appearances might be in the near future for you.
Who day? That's all I got to say to you, baby. Who day?
By the way, that chant was loud yesterday anytime they did something well in Buffalo.
There was apparently a pretty good contingency there. Yes, there I saw some pictures ahead of time of like the big tailgate outside. It looked like it was a good crew there.
Yeah.
Well, Skeeter, let's hope there's a good crew of plays in our cashing lineups this week as we attack the farmers. Good luck to you. Good luck to everyone else. Thank you for joining me, Skeeter. For Skeeter Robinson, I'm James Adams, and this has been the Fantastics My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast.